From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Getting the hour underway with some classic science fiction from X-1, and an episode from early on in the series, program number 7 to be exact. From June 5th of 1955 on NBC, it's Parigi's Wonderful Dolls.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1, fire! From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X minus one. Tonight, X minus one presents Parigi's Wonderful Dolls by George Lefferts. The doll shop stood on a quiet Washington side street, not too far from the sprawling Pentagon building. A woman and child waited outside. The little girl peering eagerly through the window at the dolls inside. And the woman glancing impatiently at her wristwatch, as if expecting someone who was late for an appointment. There was nothing about the doll shop to warn them that they were waiting to keep an appointment with doom.
Mommy, look.
What, dear?
In the window of the shop, the tiny dolls. Oh, Mommy, do you think Daddy will buy me one?
We'll ask him when he comes, dear. Should be here soon. He said 3 o'clock on this corner.
I see him, Mommy. See?
Oh, Henry, over here.
Hello, dear. I'm sorry I'm late.
Well, we're all ready to go shopping. Cindy's been...
I'm afraid we'll have to call off the shopping, Elmer.
Oh, Henry, we promised Cindy.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's just one of those things. You've been the wife of an army colonel long enough to know his life isn't his own.
What is it this time?
Some more of that flying sphere nonsense. The pilot who says he sighted it last month crashed and was killed today, and the general wants a full report.
Oh, dear. What next?
Well, I got a staff meeting at the Pentagon at 3:15.
Daddy, look in this window.
Yes, well, I haven't time, dear. Alma, I...
Yes. Just for a minute, Daddy, please.
Yes. Now, Cindy, I haven't time to stop and watch a bunch of 6-inch dolls parading around in the shop window. Say, they are lifelike, aren't they? Look at that, Alma. Dolls are marching around like a regular review. They've even got their own little band.
See the one in the red jacket, Daddy?
Yeah.
He's the leader. He's bowing to us.
Well, if they don't look human.
Henry, your staff meeting.
Yes. Well, I got to run.
Can we buy one, Daddy?
Well, not now, dear, and I'll run along. Now, don't go spending a lot of money on that nonsense.
No, dear.
Bye. Bye, Cindy.
Bye, bye, Daddy. Oh, look, Mommy, the band is going to play.
Aren't they wonderful, honey? Honey, I must have stood on this corner 1,000 times. I've never noticed this shop before.
Look at the man inside, Mommy. Who's he?
That's the proprietor, dear.
Doesn't he look funny with those red cheeks and white mustache?
It's easy to see who he models his dolls after.
Mommy, look, he's coming to the door. He's coming.
Good evening, children.
Good evening.
How funny he talks.
Hush, Cindy.
Would you like to step inside the shop of Santo Parigi?
Well, yes, we would. But...
This way.
Mommy, it's like fairyland.
Here in the shop of Santo Parigi, creator of Parigi's universal wonderful dolls, the world of adult reality is blended with the world of child's fantasy.
This is a new shop, isn't it, Mr. Parigi?
What is new and what is old? Come, this way. Would you like to meet one of my little ones?
Oh, yes.
Now, this one in the red jacket is Toto. He's the leader. Handle him ever so gently. See, I will set him on the table. Speak, little one.
How do you do? How do you do? How do you do?
That is nothing for Pirigi's wonderful dolls. Listen. Sing. Sing, Toto. Sing for the little girl.
My name is Toto.
Sing, Toto.
Men are big and tall. Dolls are very small. When men begin to fall, the dolls will rule them all.
Oh, more, more!
How do they work, Mr. Pirigi?
How do they work? Ah, that is the secret of the great Pirigi, greatest of all doll makers. To make an ordinary doll is nothing. To make a perfect replica, that is something. But to make a doll with intelligence, that is the work of an artist, eh?
I suppose that they're very expensive to buy.
But Pirigi does not sell his dolls, madam.
You don't sell them?
When I construct a doll like Toto, I cannot bear to be permanently separated from him. So instead of selling, I rent my little people.
You do? You rent dolls?
Precisely. $10.
For how long?
For as long as they are cherished. My only request is that when you grow tired of my dolls, you return them to me in good condition.
Oh, Mommy, could we take him home?
Take him home! Take him home! Take him home!
Oh, look, he's bowing him, Danny. He wants to
well,
come.
Well, honey, your father said that we shouldn't spend a lot
oh,
of money.
Oh, please, I'll take such good care of it. Please.
Well, honey, we'll have to deal with your father later, but... Well...
Oh, Mommy!
All right, wrap him up, Mr. Pirigi. But I have a feeling that when your father comes home, we'll be sorry.
Be sorry, be sorry, be sorry, be sorry.
Now, Toto, this is my room, and you're going to sleep right here next to my pillow. I wish you wouldn't laugh like that. I'm going to have to teach you some manners. And you be quiet because my daddy will be home soon. And he's a colonel in the Air Force staff. And he'll bust you to private if you don't behave. Come along now. I'm going to introduce you to my puppy dog, Mr. Blister. So be good. Here, Mr. Blister. Here, Blister. Come on. Mr. Blister, this is Toto. Oh, dear, I don't think Mr. Blister likes you, Toto. Come over here and shake hands with Toto, Mr. Blister. Come on now.
Mr. Blister! Let him go!
Get him!
Let him go!
Kill him!
Mr. Blister, come over here! Come over here! Cindy, what happened?
Mr. Blister tried to bite my doll. Look at how frightened he is.
Oh, honey, dolls don't get frightened.
But he was frightened, Mommy. He screamed.
You imagined it, dear. It's only a doll.
He did.
Well... Mr. Blister didn't mean it. Now, you know he's the gentlest little pup alive.
He is, and he's nasty, and I hate him.
Oh, now see, you've hurt his feelings.
I don't care. He tried to bite my new doll, and I don't ever want to see him again, ever.
Oh, dear. All right, Mr. Blister, you come downstairs with me. Cindy's angry with you tonight.
I'll kill him.
Cindy, where did you learn a thing like that?
Toto said it.
Honey, you've had a very exciting day. Now, brush your teeth now and go to bed, hmm? Daddy's coming home late, so he'll see you in the morning. Good night, dear. Sleep well.
I hate him.
Hate him. Hate him. Hate him. Hate him.
Morning, Alma. Breakfast ready?
In a minute, dear. How was the staff meeting last night?
Oh, horrible bore, as usual. I don't know what's got into the old man. Just because a few farmers corroborated the pilot's report, he thinks some strange aircraft has penetrated our radar zone. Well, where's the little one?
Up in her room.
Now, that's funny. She's usually down here before me.
Well, she's probably up to something. Sit down, dear.
Say, remind me to take some papers back to the War Department, will you? I left them in my strong box.
You haven't been bringing your reports home, have you?
Well, it's safe enough.
Well, you told me it was against regulations to bring secret papers home.
Well, I had to finish some work for the old man, and nobody will ever know the difference.
Well, I don't know. Oh, would you feed the puppy before we sit down, Henry?
Yes.
His bowl's under the sink.
Where is he? Say, that's funny. Here's his supper from last night, only half eaten.
He's getting fussy. Doesn't like canned dog food anymore.
Here, Blister. Here, Blister, Blister, Blister. I wonder where the dickens is that mutt.
Maybe he's on the back porch.
Here, Blister. Here. Alma.
What is it, dear?
Alma, look.
Henry, is he...
He's dead.
But how?
But from the looks of it, he might have been poisoned.
But who would do a thing like that to an innocent little puppy?
I don't know. Let me see his dish. Look at that. I don't understand this at all. Not at all.
What, dear? What is it?
There are pieces of broken glass in this food. Blue glass, you see?
How? Henry.
What?
I just remembered something.
What?
It may be coincidence, but... In the bathroom this morning.
Well, what about the bathroom?
Oh, Cindy's blue glass, the one with the Mickey Mouse on it, was broken. I found pieces in the wastebasket. I meant to ask her about it.
Alma, for heaven's sake, you aren't suggesting that our little girl... Well, she loved Blister more than anyone.
Not last night, she didn't.
Why not?
He went after Toto.
Now, who is Toto?
That's her new doll.
Her what?
Honey, I was meaning to tell you.
But you bought her one of those dolls, huh?
I just rented it.
Well, rented it. Now, look here, Alma. You know we haven't got the kind of money to throw away.
Well, she had her heart set on it, dear. I used my dividend.
All right. But what happened with Blister?
Well, he went for the doll, and Cindy said she hated him.
Oh, well, a child.
She said she'd kill him.
Where'd she get a thought like that?
I don't know.
Has she been watching those chillers on television?
I don't know.
Well, it's too ridiculous. Good heavens, a 9-year-old child putting ground glass in dog food. She'd have to be a monster.
She's coming.
Well, don't say anything. I'll talk to her.
Morning, dear.
Morning, Mommy.
Morning, Daddy.
What's the matter?
Sit down, dear.
Yes, sir.
Oh, your mother tells me you broke your blue drinking glass.
Oh, no, I didn't break it.
Cindy.
I didn't.
Well, now somebody broke it. It wasn't your mother and it wasn't me.
It must have been Toto.
Cynthia.
Cindy, you know Toto is only a doll. Now, a doll couldn't have broken your glass, could he? Well?
I guess not.
So we can't very well blame it on a doll, then, can we?
But he must have done it, Daddy.
Cindy, you know how Daddy feels about little girls who tell fibs. Now, did you break your glass and maybe accidentally get some pieces into Mr. Blister's dish to sort of punish him for biting your doll?
No, Daddy.
Well, I'd hate to think you'd done something you knew was wrong and you were blaming it on a doll.
Is something wrong with Mr. Blister? Is he sick?
Worse than that.
Henry.
The child has to face reality, Alma.
What's the matter with Mr. Blister?
He's dead, Cindy.
Oh, no. He can't be dead. He isn't dead, Daddy. No, he isn't. He isn't. Mommy.
Honey, he is dead, Cindy.
He'll come back. He has to come back.
No, darling, he won't come back.
Ever?
Not ever.
Yes. Now that we've told you, Cindy, do you want to change your mind about the glass?
Henry, leave her alone, please.
You think I killed him?
Now look what you've done. The child feels guilty enough,
my
Henry.
My dear, this is no time for feelings to interfere.
You go up to your room, honey. Daddy and I'll be up in a minute.
I don't want to.
Please, Cindy. Now we'll be right up, please. There. That's a good girl. Close the kitchen door behind you.
Mr. Blister's dead. He isn't coming back. Ever. Ever. Daddy thinks it was me, but... It was you! It was you!
Eat your supper, dear.
I'm not hungry.
You scarcely touched your lunch.
I don't feel like eating.
Is it Mr. Blister?
Now, answer your mother.
She'll work it out her own way, Harry.
Well, I don't know, Alma. When I was a boy, there was such a thing as discipline. Now, the way this child is being brought up...
Henry!
Well, it's true. There's no respect, lying and...
Oh, there, honey. Now, your father's upset. He doesn't mean
it. What's happened to us? We were a nice, peaceful, happy family until you bought that cursed doll.
Now who's blaming things on the doll?
Well, it's true.
Oh,
now I've spilled my coffee.
I'll get you another cup.
Never mind. I'm late now. I better be going.
Oh, you wanted to get some papers from the strongbox.
Oh, yes.
Cindy, please, try to eat something.
Yes, ma'am.
Alma! Alma!
What is it?
Alma, it's gone.
What's gone?
The box, the strong box is gone.
It can't be. The door to your study's always locked. You and I have the only keys.
I know all that, and I tell you it isn't there.
Well, who would go?
I don't know. Alma, those confidential reports, if they ever got into the wrong
hands. I warned you about keeping them there.
What if it ever came out in the open? Can't you see the papers?
Call the police, yeah. Henry.
And throw my army career in a wastebasket after 17 years? No. We've got to find it ourselves.
Well, it was there when I went in to clean this morning.
What about your key?
It's right here. I always keep it with me. It's funny.
Oh, no.
My other keys are on the ring.
Oh, you've lost it.
I don't see how.
Alma, how could you do
it? Oh, Henry, please.
We'll search the house. I can't think of anything else to do.
Well, you'll miss the staff meeting.
Meeting? My whole career goes up in smoke if we don't find those reports. Somebody got hold of your key and opened that room and... I know. Cindy.
You leave the child alone. She's been through enough. You know she wouldn't do a thing like that.
I don't know anything anymore. I don't even know my own child. I don't even know you. All I know is that strong box is gone and it contains papers that are dynamite if the wrong person gets them. The question being who? What's that?
It's coming from upstairs. It must be Cindy's doll.
Oh, that blasted doll again.
Something must have set it off. I don't know how the mechanism works.
For heaven's sakes, let's go up and shut it off.
Toto! 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 Kill him! Kill him! Kill him! How do you do? How do you do?
Stop it! Blasted little imp.
Henry.
Ever since you...
Henry!
Thing... What?
Look.
Where? What?
Around the doll's neck. The key. The key to your study.
You see, Alma, it was Cindy after all.
I don't believe
well,
it.
Well, good heavens, do you have to have it spelled out for you? Here's our doll with a key around its
she
neck.
She wouldn't, Henry. You know she wouldn't.
Oh, ever since you got this fool doll, she's been acting half insane. At first the dog and now this. I think she hates herself.
Henry, Cindy is my child. I know her. I know she's a good, sensitive person with no malice in
you're
her.
You're simply refusing to face the facts, my dear.
What are you going to do?
I'm going downstairs and have a talk with that young lady. You're not telling the truth, Cindy.
I am, I am.
Cindy, now you know that strong box is very important to me. Now, I can understand that you might have been angry at me because I scolded you. And so you took it and hid it, just to spite me. Now, all I ask is for you to tell me the truth. Now, where is it?
I didn't take it, Daddy. Honest, I didn't take it.
Well, I suppose you're going to tell me now that a little 6-inch doll took it and hid it. Well, I'm speaking to you, young lady.
But I didn't take it, Daddy. You don't understand. Toto did it. He's terrible, awful. He says things. He's going to kill everybody.
Cindy, you're inventing things.
It's true. At night when I'm sleeping, he stands next to my pillow and whispers things to me. Awful things. He told me he'd kill me, too, if I scold,
Alma,
if I told you.
I think this child is sick. I think she needs a doctor.
She's frightened, Henry. She's trembling like a leaf. Come on, dear. We'll go up to your room.
I don't want to go up there.
Honey, Mommy will stay with you.
I'm afraid he's up there.
Who?
Toto.
Well, he won't be up there for long. Mr. Toto is going right back to Pirigi's wonderful doll shop before I lose my sanity, which means right now.
Grayson, welcome to the home of Pirigi's wonderful doll.
Are you Pirigi?
Santor Pirigi, creator of the universal doll, the doll with a mind, the doll which...
I'm returning one of your masterpieces.
Oh? If you will step into the rear of my shop. Now the complaint?
No complaint. Here's your doll. Good riddance.
My little Toto. Rejected. You found the world of men too filled with hate.
Hate, 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 hate!
We will change all that later on. Return to your comrades in the window, little one. And now, Colonel Grayson.
I think we have no further business.
Ah, but we do, Colonel. Let me see. Ah, yes, here it is. Do you recognize this strong box, Colonel?
My strong box? Well, where?
My little Toto is very clever, sir.
Are you trying to tell me your doll stole that from me?
Let us not say stole. I am merely keeping it in custody.
What's the game, Pirigi?
The game, as you call it, is blackmail. You give me what I want, and I do not ruin your career.
What do you want?
Information. We already know something from the reports of the War Department concerning a certain strange-looking sphere reported by one of your pilots.
What government do you represent?
I represent Pirigi's wonderful dolls, none other.
I am not so naive, sir.
Perhaps I should explain. Each man hides something from the world. Each man loves something more than life. With the help of my wonderful dolls, I obtain personal information which enables me to control the men who control the world.
You're a madman.
A genius. You would be surprised at the list of men who have become the confidants for my dolls.
Do you think you can blackmail me into betraying my country?
If the price is right. And in this case, sir, the price is your career and the lives of your wife and child.
Why are you so interested in the flying sphere?
Let us say for reasons of my own. Well, Colonel?
Hand over the strongbox.
I warn you, I have a gun.
Give it to me.
You are being foolish. Put down that walking stick.
Now?
No closer.
Now? Hello? Give me the police. Hello? Yes, this is Colonel Henry Grayson. I've just killed a man. Yes, Parigi's doll shop, corner of 4th and Lexington. The body is in the back room. Yes, I'll wait for you. Shut up. Shut up, you little fiend.
Colonel Grayson.
Did I hear it speak?
Colonel Henry Grayson.
I must be going out of my mind, a 6-inch doll. Shut up! Your master's dead.
You are mistaken, Colonel. I, Toto, am the master.
What do you mean?
If you will examine the body of Santor Parigi, you will see that he does not bleed. And he does not bleed, Colonel, because Santor Parigi never lived.
Never lived?
Santor Parigi is a doll.
A doll? But that's impossible. He's a man. He talks, he walks.
The people of Meritrix are skillful doll builders.
People of Meritrix, doll but look, who are you?
I am Xanthus Imperator, commander of the legions of the third planetoid, Meritrix.
Legions? Planetoid?
My people and I, whom you regard as dolls, come from a tiny planet beyond the moon, so small that it cannot support our population. We landed one of our space spheres on Earth 3 months ago with the intention of colonizing. Unfortunately, one of your pilots intercepted us.
So that's why you wanted our information.
Precisely.
Are you human?
Oh, quite human. Of course. In order to deal with Earth people without suspicion, we were forced to construct Parigi, a man-sized doll. Oh,
well, I can't believe this. I'm having hallucinations. I'm going to get out of here.
Oh, that would be impossible. We have weapons of destruction quite unknown to Earth people.
Well, I phoned the police, and they'll be here soon.
By the time they arrive, my people will have prepared something quite shocking.
Cover him, Ryan.
Okay, Sarge.
You the guy who turned in the call?
Yes.
Where's the body?
Well, it isn't exactly a body.
What do you mean?
It's a doll.
A what?
Well, you've got to let me explain. Now, this sounds fantastic, but I've stumbled onto an unbelievable plot to control the world.
Keep talking.
Now, these little dolls, they aren't really dolls. They're tiny people. There's a big doll named Santo Parigi, and he runs this shop.
Holy smokes.
He's off his trolley, Sarge.
Listen, mister, we got a call that there was a murder here. Now, if there was one, where's the body?
Behind those curtains in the back. Only it isn't really a body, you see.
What?
I hear something back there, Sarge.
All right, cover those curtains. You, there's anyone back there, come on out. Come out or we'll come in and get you.
Something's coming. The curtain's opening.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Parigi. Well, this is impossible. I smashed his skull.
You know this guy?
Yes, that's the one. That's the doll.
What's your name, mister?
Parigi. Santo Parigi, creator of the Universal Doll.
You ever see this man?
Never until just now.
Well, he's lying. I tell you, he's nothing but a life-size doll. The real masters are these little dolls.
Ryan, are you getting this?
He's wacko, Sarge. Nutty as a fruitcake.
Look, I'm not crazy, I tell you. I can prove it. They must have fixed up his head when I smashed it in. Touch him, you'll see.
Mr. Parigi, you know what the guy is talking about.
The man is demented, obviously.
Look, I tell you, there's a plot to control the Earth. Listen, you've got to let me call the War Department. They'll want to know about the flying sphere.
Holy mackerel, this gets worse every minute. Ryan.
Take him to headquarters?
Save some time. Take him down to the psycho ward.
Okay, Buck Rogers. Come along nice and quiet.
Look, you've got to listen to me. Don't you see the future of mankind is at stake?
Sure. I know how it is.
Look, he's nothing but a man-sized doll. Touch him.
And the little ones are going to take over the Earth. I know. I had the DTs once. Okay, Sarge. We'll see you later.
Please.
Come along.
Please, listen to me. You've got to listen to me.
Sorry to cause all this trouble, Mr. Parigi.
Not at all, sir. Not at all.
Well, I'll be. That ain't the cutest little doll. Say, my little girl will be nuts for that.
But perhaps you will accept it as a gift.
Well, now,
for saving my life. That madman might have killed me. No home is really complete without one of Pirici's wonderful dolls, Sergeant. Is that right, Toto?
Yes, but I
would like in some way to show my gratitude. You will be doing me a favor if you will take the doll home to your little daughter.
Say, this ought to make her the happiest girl in the world.
Yes, Toto will come as a great surprise. A very great surprise. Won't it, Toto?
Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Parigi's Wonderful Dolls, written by George Lefferts. Heard in the cast were Janet Alexander as Cindy, Ann Petoniak as Alma, Nelson Olmsted as Henry, Joe DeSantis as Parigi, Michael O'Day as Toto, Ken Lynch as the Sergeant, and Frank Milano as Ryan. This is Fred Collins speaking. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Parigi's Wonderful Dolls, episode number 7 in the outstanding science fiction series X-1, from June 5th, 1955, on NBC. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And our blog and website is qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is Upstate Radio Theater, program number 1904. We'll conclude the hour with some classic Western action, as we have an early episode of Gunsmoke, the first adult Western radio program created in 1952 by Norman MacDonald. This broadcast is program number 38 in the series. From January 10th of 1953 on CBS, it's Word of Honor.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, the story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
not up there, Mr. Dillon. He's just plain vanished.
There's no note anywhere? You sure of that, Chester?
Nothing, sir. I looked again all over.
Well, it's 2 days now. This isn't like Doc.
Well, I still think he's just gone off on an emergency out in the country somewhere.
Maybe, but he's always left word before.
Well, what'll we do, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know. Might start asking people, Chester. Try the saloons and the store and maybe the depot, huh?
All right, Mr. Dillon, I'll go right now.
All right.
Well, I do declare.
What?
Riding right up Front Street as big as life.
Why, that old rascal getting us all worried about him.
For land's sake, you sure are a sight for sore eyes, Doc. Where in the world have you been at, anyway?
Here. Hello, Chester. Matt.
Hey, you had us worried, Doc.
That's so?
You've been gone 2 days.
I know.
Next time, leave word, Doc.
I will. I surely will. If I can.
Well, it'd sure save us a lot of fret.
Now, wait a minute. Well, what do you mean, Doc, if you can?
Just that. If they let me, I'll leave word.
Come on inside, Doc. Well, all right, I'm curious, Doc. You want to tell me about it?
I can tell you part of it, the least important part. I made a promise about the rest. You know how it is, Matt.
No, but you tell me.
Well, the other night, Wednesday it was, I was peacefully asleep on my couch when a couple of riders tromped right into my office. They said a man was hurt somewhere out past Fort Dodge, so naturally I got up and I went along with them.
Well, then why didn't you leave a note and say so?
They didn't tell me exactly where we was going, Chester, but they sure told me not to leave any note.
They told you what?
Let him talk, Chester.
Now, of course, I figured then it must have been a shooting, but my job's to take care of everybody. Sinner and saved alike. And so, when finally we got to this place the next day...
What place?
That's part of what I promised not to tell, Chester. But like I was saying, there was a young man there who'd got himself shot in the back. The bullet lodged right in his spine. And I dug it out, and I did all I could for him. And then I just sat there for quite a spell. And then I put my things away... And I walked out into the other room.
Well, Doc, how is he?
I did what I could.
What do you mean? He's dead.
The shock of extracting that bullet was too much for him. It's a bad place, the spine there.
You killed him, huh, Doc?
No. No, I didn't kill him.
He's dead, ain't he?
Look, mister, doctors don't kill people. Murderers.
Watch your mouth, Doc.
That boy wouldn't have lived more than a couple of days with that bullet where it was. And whoever put it there murdered him.
You want me to shut him up?
Not yet. Doc, tell me something. You know that boy in there?
I do.
Sure. And the three of us here, you know any of us?
Him. I've seen him around somewheres. Dodge, I guess.
Well, that settles it. He ain't walking out of here.
Shut up. Know his name, Doc?
No. No, I don't. Of course, it might come to me. Let me think now.
You don't understand, Doc. He wants to kill you already. Now you're trying to remember his name. That's just going to make it worse.
You can't kill a doctor for following his oath.
Oh, no. I shot that boy when he tried to get away, and I shoot you just as...
Don't be a fool. I'm a doctor. Since there's nothing more I can do here, I got to be available to other patients. I've been away too long.
Oh, what are we arguing about? Sooner we shoot him, the better.
What kind of a man are you, anyways? Don't you know I'm the only doctor within 100 miles of Dodge?
Right now, it's one too many.
Now, wait a minute. I'm kind of thinking the Doc's right. He ain't like an ordinary man. But doctor, well, it's almost like he ain't quite human somehow.
He's human enough to tell what he knows that hard-headed marshal he got in Dodge. Then we'll have him on our tail. We'll never get our 20,000. Well, I figure it's us or the Doc.
I'm not interested in what you figure, mister. Right this minute, there may be some woman having a baby and needing me real bad. There may be several folk needing me for help.
He's right. We can't kill him.
I can't.
You'll do what I say and nothing else, hear?
Oh.
Doc, listen to me. If I let you go, will you promise not to tell about anybody you recognized here?
And if I don't?
Then, doctor or no doctor, I'll kill you myself.
Yeah, I suppose you would. All right, I'm here as a doctor and nothing else. I promise.
Word of honor, Doc?
That's my word of honor.
Okay, get out. One other thing, Doc.
What?
You break your word, you tell anybody where this place is or who you saw here, and we'll get to you. We'll kill you no matter where you try to hide.
I gave you my word, didn't I?
Sure, but don't forget what I said anyway. Don't forget for 1 minute. We'll kill you or die trying.
That's quite a story, Doc.
And you played it right smart, if you ask me. Who were they, Doc? Well, tell us.
Well, I only recognized one of them, Chester, besides the man they'd shot.
So you said. Have you thought of his name
no,
yet?
No, Chester, you don't understand. I gave him a word I wouldn't tell.
Yes, but that was just so as you could get away.
Well, they shot me for sure otherwise, but... Still, I gave my word. It don't matter how or why.
But, Doc, they're just a bunch of killers.
I know.
Leave him alone, Chester.
But, Mr. Dillon... Yes, sir.
Matt.
Yeah, Doc.
Wouldn't you do the same if you were in my boots?
That'd be a hard choice, Doc, but... Yeah, I suppose I would.
Why, any man would. Leastwise, any man of honor would.
I guess I wasn't really thinking about it that way.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get some sleep. Matt, that was a good boy they murdered. I hope they hang for it. Oh, Dad blasted him.
How are we ever going to find him, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester. We don't even know who they killed.
Funny, we haven't heard about it.
Maybe nobody's missed him yet.
Just think. Doc could lead us straight to him right now.
Well, it isn't making the doc happy, Chester.
No, sir, it sure isn't.
I'm going over the Texas Trail, Chester. I'll be back later.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sam, bring me over a bottle and a glass, will you?
Go, Marshal.
Hello, Matt.
Oh, hi, Kitty.
You want some help with that bottle?
Yeah, sure. I'm only going to have one. You can finish it. Sit down.
Oh, my reputation's bad enough without my trying to get around carrying a bottle of whiskey in me.
There you be. Oh, thank you, Sam. There you are, Kitty. Well, here's to luck.
Yeah, I could use some. Well, you didn't come here to drink a bottle of rye, Matt. What's on your mind?
Well, Kitty, I was sort of wondering if maybe you'd heard any talk about anybody being missing lately.
Missing? Who?
Well, that's just the point. I don't know who...
Well, you're sure not on much of a trail, are you, Matt?
Well, a man was shot and he's dead. And I don't know who he was or who did it or where. All I know is that it happened.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, Matt, I don't know a thing I've heard that'd help. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was just a chance.
You know, it's not often a man gets shot around here without everybody knowing about it.
Well, I'm glad for that much anyway. Well, thanks, Kitty.
Well, good luck, Matt.
Yeah, take it easy with that bottle.
Yeah, I'll save it for you.
So long.
See you, Matt.
Doc's been asleep for 6 straight hours, Mr. Dillon. He sure must have been tired.
Yeah. Here, Chester, take these letters down to the depot for me, will you? They got to be in Washington next week.
Santa Fe pulls out in an hour, sir. I'll put them right in the mail car.
Marshal? Why, Jake Worth, why, you haven't come into Dodge in the last 6 months that I know of.
I'm here now, Marshal.
Oh? Trouble, Jake?
I'd call it that.
Well?
You know that cottonwood, the big one down at Brandy Bend?
Yeah.
There's a hole cut down by the roots at the north side of it. I put a sack in that hole this morning. It's got $20,000 in it.
It's a lot of money, Jake, even for you.
It isn't if Hank gets back all right.
Hank? That's your youngest boy, isn't it, Jake?
Yeah, 18 last month.
Yeah. And that's ransom money. Your boy's been kidnapped, huh?
He didn't show up the other night, Marshal. Next morning, I found a note tacked on the corral. Said to leave the money or they'd kill him.
Oh, come on, Jake. We'll try to get there before they pick up the money.
No, Marshal, I won't take any chances. They'd shoot him sure if we did that.
You should have told me before you left the money. You should have come here first, you know?
You didn't hear what I said, Marshal. I won't take the chance. All I want now is for you to watch for anybody who turns up rich around here.
Jake, I want you to listen to me.
Now, you listen to me, Marshal. Nobody is going to do a thing till Hank's back safe on the ranch. Not one dang thing.
Jake, if they killed Hank, you'd want him hung, wouldn't you?
I'll hang him myself if it comes to that. I'll hunt him down like wolves.
All right, then let's go. Let's get on to Brandy Bend and wait for him.
No. I already told you no.
Hank's dead, Jake. They already shot him. And he's dead.
What are you talking about? Where is he?
I don't know.
And how come you know he's dead?
I can't tell you.
Marshal, I've had about enough of this.
We're wasting time here. Come on, Jake. I'll tell you what I can on the way to the river.
You better, by heaven, or one of us ain't never going to get to the river.
Jake Worth was known as a hard, hot-tempered man, but he was straight as they come. He'd made one fortune in Texas cattle and another in buffalo hides, and now all he wanted was his ranch and his 3 sons to work it with him. The Worths were good men. They didn't cause any trouble, and they worked hard. It was hard to tell Jake, but without mentioning Doc, I said what I could. And when we reached the Arkansas, we hid our horses in a clump of bush and worked our way on foot up to the big cottonwood. And I stood up and walked out into the open.
What are you doing, Marshal? You gone crazy?
Come on, Jake. No use to hide now.
Oh. That's him there, isn't it? That's Hank?
I'm afraid so, Jake.
They killed him. They killed him, all right. He was a good boy. Had his whole life to live yet. Why'd they do it? I gave him the money. Why'd they do it?
I'm sorry, Jake.
Marshal, I've been kind of confused by all this. I swallowed your story on the way down here. But I want the truth now. Every bit of it.
That's all I know, Jake. Hank tried to break and one of them shot him. But we'll get him.
I'll take care of myself as soon as you tell me who they are.
I don't know who they are.
Don't lie to me, Marshal. You know a lot you're not telling me. What's going on with you anyway?
I've told you all I can, Jake.
That's my boy lying there, Marshal. He's been murdered. And if I didn't know you so well, I'd begin to think maybe you had something to do with it yourself.
Now, just a minute, Jake. I know you're upset.
Then why don't you tell me?
Because the man who told me about it had to promise not to name anybody. That's why.
What man? Who is he? I'll get it out of him if I have to cut it out.
Yeah, I know. That's why I can't tell you who he is.
What kind of a lawman are you, anyway?
I've told you all I can, Jake. told you all I can, Jake.
No. No, you haven't. Marshal, I don't believe your story about nobody. Promise nothing. You know who done it. And you're going to tell me or
don't
I'm...
Don't try it, Jake. You can't kill me and you know it.
No. I can't. Me and my boys can. And I'm giving you 24 hours to name those men, and then we're coming to Dodge. There'll be blood spilt, Marshal.
Jake, I give you my word, I don't know who did it.
I don't believe you.
I'll help you take your boy home now.
Go on back to Dodge. I'll manage here.
You're making a bad mistake, Jake.
24 hours, Marshal.
I'll be there.
We'll find you wherever you be.
Jake, I want... So long, Jake.
Return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, 300,000 volunteers are needed for the Ground Observer Corps. This spare time activity serves as a vital supplement of the Air Defense Command radar network, which has certain unavoidable blind spots due to the curvature of the Earth. Men and women from teenage up are urged to become ground observers. Get in touch with your nearest civil defense center. Now for the second act of Gunsmoke.
There was no use arguing with him. The man's grief had destroyed his reason. And the worst of it was, I knew his sons would do whatever Jake told them to do. Unless I could stop it somehow, I'd have to shoot it out with three good and perfectly innocent men. For no reason at all. I thought about it all the way back to Dodge, and by the time I got there, I had an idea. I went up to Doc's and talked it over with him.
All right, Matt, I'll do whatever I can.
It might not work, Doc, and you'll be exposing yourself to a lot of danger. Have you thought about that?
I have. I've also been thinking about the men who killed Hank Worth.
Well, we could wait till they start spending their money or till one of them gets drunk and maybe talks too much somewhere.
We could. But meantime, you and the worst will have a gunfight. Oh, man, it'd be a terrible thing to let happen.
All right, then, Doc, let's go. I want to get to the ranch before dark.
Yeah, maybe Jake's cooled off by now. Enough not to start shooting on sight anyway.
We'll soon find out. Come on.
You know, Matt, I haven't been out here since Mrs. Worth died. Oh, that must be 4 or 5 years ago. Well, the place sure has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. I don't see anybody around, do you?
Maybe they saw us first. Maybe they're hid out.
I hope not.
See, Matt, I got an idea. Why don't you take your gun off and hang it around your saddle horn? Then they'll know you come peaceable.
I can't take a chance like that, Doc. Not with Jake in his state. But I won't shoot unless I have to.
He who lives by the sword...
Look, Doc, I'm doing everything I can to avoid this thing. But I'll kill all three of them if I have to.
All right, Matt. I understand.
That's far enough, Marshal. Watch him, boys. If he makes a move, shoot.
Yes, fine.
Jake, I came here to stop a shooting, not to start one.
You can stop it, Marshal. Just tell me who killed my son.
If I knew, I'd be on his trail, Jake.
I'm not sure of that at all. What's Doc doing here?
Tell him, Doc.
I took the bullet out of Hank. He died soon after.
What?
That's right, Jake. Now come down here where we can talk like friends, and I'll explain it to you.
Stay where you are, boys.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Doc, let's hear it.
Well, they got me out of bed, Jake, and they led me out into the country. Hank had been shot in the back, and I extracted the bullet, but it was no use. He'd have died anyway. There were three men there, and I recognized one of them.
Who was he?
Well, I had to promise I wouldn't tell, Jake, or they'd have killed me.
That don't matter
now. Think about it a minute, Jake. Doc gave him his word. And you're asking him to break it. Now, think about it for a minute.
I'm thinking. Thinking about my boy, too.
Hank's dead. You can't help him now.
Shot in the back. And the coward who did it's running free.
You want to help get him, Jake?
Don't ask fool questions, Marshal. Of course I want
to
get him.
Now, then listen to me. Those men told Doc if he talked, they'd kill him.
Yeah, they meant it, too.
All right, so I got an idea now, Jake. We'll spread it around that Doc has identified the killer. The news will reach him soon enough. In the meantime, I'm going to lay low. And I'll have Chester tell everybody that I've ridden out after them.
Go on.
Then we'll just wait. One or two or maybe all three of them will come into Dodge to kill Doc some night soon.
They still might get away.
And I'll deputize you and your boys right now, and you can wait for them with us. You'll have to stay hidden like me, of course.
We won't mind that. Not if we get a chance at them, we won't.
All right, good.
Yeah. Funny thing, though.
What?
A man like Doc here, rather than break his word, he'll make himself a target for those killers.
Yeah. Look, Jake, Doc and I are going to go back to Dodge now. I'll see that the story gets started, and in a day or two, you and your boys can ride in, but separately, though. Otherwise, it might cause talk.
I understand.
And come straight to Doc's.
We'll get there.
Next few days, Doc never left his office. I figured that'd make him look scared and draw the killers right into our trap. The rest of us sat around in his back room and waited. Chester kept us supplied with food and coffee, but we began to get pretty restless cooped up like that. And by the fifth night, we were being real careful with one another and over-polite. But on the sixth night, about midnight, we got our game.
Mr. Dillon, I think it's them.
Where?
They just rode up Front Street, three of them. They're tying up outside right now. They acted too deliberate-like for ordinary riders, so I run up the back way to tell you.
Doc, come on in.
What do you want me to do, Matt?
Take cover in here and stay out of sight.
Yeah, whatever you say, Matt.
Let's go downstairs and meet them, Marshal.
No, we might just scatter them that way. Now, listen. One of them will probably stand guard on the street while the other two come up here to get Doc. Chester, you and the two boys go down the back way. Jake and I'll wait in the Doc's office. But don't jump that man while we go into action up here. Do you understand?
I got it, sir.
All right, then move fast. Come on, Jake.
Now what?
Well, we'll just wait here in the dark.
Good.
I'll fix Doc's blanket on the couch here so they'll think he's in it.
They're on the stairs now.
All right, get back in the corner, Jake, or we'll be shooting each other.
Yeah.
Quiet now. And don't start shooting till I do.
Wake up, you lying dog.
Just shoot him and get out of here.
What? Wait. He ain't here.
What?
Get your hands up. You're under arrest, both of you.
It's a trap.
You all right, Jake?
I got one of them. I'm all right.
Doc? Doc, you can come on out now.
All right, man.
They're dead. Light the lamp, will you, Doc?
All right. Yes, you better light the lamp right here.
Okay, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, come in, Chester.
Well, we got him, Mr. Dillon. He tried to get away when he heard you up here, but he ran smack into one of the Worth boys. He's dead.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either one of these men. Doc, you can tell us now, is one of these the man you recognize?
Let me see here. This one here. I remembered later I treated him for a broken nose sometime back. I never did know his name, though. He came up on the, up the trail with a herd, I think.
It don't matter now, as long as they're all dead.
Oh, well. Bring the other bodies up, Chester. I'll do the autopsies quick, and I'll get them out of here. It's about time I got something out of all this.
Okay, Doc.
I'll fetch you.
Well, Jake, I'm satisfied, Marshal. Me and the boys will be getting back to the ranch now.
Sure.
Marshal, I...
Yeah?
I doubted you. I'm sorry for that.
Forget it, Jake.
No. No, it's best I remember. Man shouldn't make mistakes like that.
Well, there was no harm done. The way it worked out.
I'll buy you a drink before we leave, Marshal.
I think I'd like that, Jake. Come on, let's go.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were John Daner with Lawrence Dobkin and Harry Bartell. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. This is Roy Rowan speaking over the CBS Radio Network.
Word of Honor, Episode 38 in the Gunsmoke series, from January 10th, 1953 on CBS, one of many scripts that would be reused during the series' long run on radio, and some even made it to television as well when Gunsmoke debuted on the small screen in 1955. That does it for this hour of the program. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again soon for more classic sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.